Welcome back to Landed Radio. This is Peter Clayton, and back with us for part two of her revealing interview on Landed Radio is Joyce Joya, a strategic business futurist concentrating on relationship aspects of the future. This arena includes workforce and workplace trends, as well as consumer, education, and business-to-business trends. Joyce is president of the Herman Group, a firm serving a wide range of corporate, trade association, and governmental clients on an international basis. Through consulting, speaking, and training, Joyce helps clients position themselves for success in the future. In this segment, she will reveal the Herman Group forecast for 2006. Once again, here's Joyce Joya.
The workforce forecasts for 2006 from the Herman Group are as follows. Number one, intensifying competition for qualified workers. Because as the economy continues to grow and more jobs are created, employers will become increasingly aggressive in their efforts to recruit people. They'll have to, because there's a very limited supply of workers with the right education, training, and experience. And that's going to force some employers to operate with inadequate staffing, causing a risk of not meeting customer expectations and therefore not maintaining their market position. So, going to add one to what is out there, and that is I'm going to tell you that the companies that are going to be doing the best with their stock market share prices next year are the ones who are employee-centered. So if you look at the Fortune list, you're going to be able to do very well in the stock market next year. By the way, we actually talk about some research that was done. I believe it was done by the fellows who wrote the book Contented Cows Give Better Milk. They came up with the fact that you will beat the S&P average if you reconfigure your list every year to reflect the new Fortune list. If you hold stocks of the publicly traded companies that are on the Fortune list, you can actually do better than the market by 15% on average if you just keep reconfiguring with the organizations that have won the Fortune 100 competition. And by the way, I would suggest that you add to that list any publicly traded companies that are on the Employer of Choice list at www.employeroftheyear.com, because those have to be very well managed and well run names as well. The difference is that I believe that the Fortune list is mostly publicly traded, opposed to privately owned. Okay, number two, gradually increasing attention to employee retention. They'll have to, because what's going to happen is that as the market heats up, an increasing number of employees is going to change jobs, responding to attractive incentives. And employers will realize, often too late to hold on to their top talent, that their attrition rates have skyrocketed and that it's become even more difficult to hire replacements than it was before.
And more expensive.
And more expensive, exactly. Yeah. So, by the way, it's going to be full employment for your recruiters. Your recruiters who listen to your podcast, let me share. The recruiters are going to be in a very, very good position for a foreseeable number of years. The problem for companies is that so many people left recruiting with the slowdown of the year 2000 and then the subsequent 9/11 tragedy and the protracted recovery. Boy, it took us a long time to recover.
Sure did.
And now the recruiters are in high demand, and the problem is that there are a lot of people who are saying, I don't need that stress. I don't need that pressure. Thank you very much. I'm going to stay in pharmaceutical sales or in some other kind of sales that's more comfortable for them, that doesn't have the high degree of pressure that they experienced in the recruiting arena. Number three, increasing investment in older workers. We're seeing a number of companies already looking at investing in older workers and looking to attract those older workers because they're more stable, they're less likely to leave, They know the ropes. They know how to get things done in their organizations. And they're just in a very, very good position. And we're doing a lot of work with AARP. People may choose to, like, for instance, the people who work for Framatome Areva or for Areva in Lynchburg, Virginia, may choose to go live in Costa Rica for 4 months out of the year because they're going to be able to, because they're going to have the disposable income. Now, what that's going to mean is that with that additional disposable income, that, by the way, we didn't think that they were going to have, they're not going to be socking it away because they still feel like they feel very good and they feel like they're going to live forever. And for baby boomers, denial is a whole lot more than a river in Egypt. So we feel good, we want to keep working, and we're not going to sock it away. We're just not. We're going to spend it. We're going to feel good. We're not looking at retiring. We're not looking at hanging up our spurs. We do not want to sit on the porch and wait for the Grim Reaper. We want to keep working, keep contributing, and keep having fun. And
right.
We feel good, and why not? Number four, there's going to be a shift in retirement plans to lifetime lifestyle funding. So companies will be looking at a different way of providing benefits to their workers. And they're going to be looking at long-term wealth accumulation plans, not necessarily the same 401ks and Roth IRAs and all of those kinds of products. So there's probably going to be an opportunity for folks who provide benefits as well. Okay, number five is continued offshoring of some work. And that's going to be coupled with the return of other work. Because what some organizations have discovered is that it really doesn't make sense to offshore that work. Number six is larger investment in corporate training. And what we mean by that is that companies are just going to have to put more money into training and development. They will, because that's what's going to keep the older workers with them. And they are also going to need the additional skills and abilities on the part of their current employees. Number seven is there's going to be a renewed growth in telecommuting. People who want more control over their time and want to seek better life-work balance will persuade their employers to allow them to telecommute.
Which makes so much sense, Joyce.
More. It does, no question about it. The companies save the space in their offices, as well as the people save gasoline money. I mean, it's all around. It makes a lot of sense. Number eight, and this is great news for the recruiters and for the staffing folks who listen to your podcast, and that is that there's going to be a significant expansion in the staffing industry. Because the difficulty in finding qualified talent is going to drive more employers to rely on staffing firms to source their applicants. Number nine, there's going to be heightened flexibility in work arrangements, and I've talked about that a lot as far as older workers are concerned, but there's also going to be heightened flexibility in work arrangements for moms and for dads, folks who want to be there for their children. And there's going to be a greater understanding on the part of companies about the value of their young parents as employees. And companies are going to explode the policy, the unwritten policy. It's almost like it's an unwritten rule in organizations that if you choose the mommy track or the daddy track, that you're then treated poorly in organizations. That is going to change. We're not going to see it changing in the next year, Peter, but it is definitely going to change. And number 10 is employer dissatisfaction with the product of our schools. And there is no question that employers are going to become more and more dissatisfied, more and more frustrated that they cannot find the workers that they need to get the job done. And that has led us to a year-long initiative, and actually it's going to take us 14 months to do what we want to do. We're going to go to every state in the union, at least one city in each state. We're going to do day-long conferences, raising the consciousness of the community to the need to support the schools in all kinds of ways, raising the consciousness of the community to supporting the four-year colleges and the technical programs and the community colleges in that geographical area. Because if we don't, we will not be able to be competitive on the international stage. Right now, in a recent study, we were 18 out of 24 countries. We were 18th. That's
frightening.
It is awful. It is frightening. And the employers are finding a difficult time working with the young graduates because they can't read and write.
Right. Yeah, I hear this all the time. I mean,
there's a bank
everywhere.
That's a prospective client of ours in Wisconsin. And they give their prospective employees literacy and numeracy tests. And would you believe that 68% of the people who take the test are not able to pass it?
Now, what level of education do these people have, supposedly?
High school graduates.
Uh-huh.
This is basic literacy and numeracy skills. Can they add a column of numbers and come up with the right number?
Uh-huh.
Can they read a paragraph and tell you what was in it? Basic, very basic literacy and numeracy. We have a large problem in this country, and it needs to be addressed. If people want more information, they can contact me.
Well, Joyce, it was certainly nice speaking with you today on Landed.fm.
Thank you, Peter. It was a pleasure being on your podcast. And a parting word is that if people would like to sign up for our Herman Trend Alert, they may do so at www.hermangroup.com. And it's issued every week in French, Spanish, Portuguese, as well as English. And they may also join 25,000 people in 72 countries in receiving this weekly e-zine by email.
Thank you so much, Joyce, for joining us
today.
Thank
you, Peter. It's really been a pleasure, and I look forward to doing this again with you.
Great. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Joyce Gioia, business futurist and president of the Herman Group. Be sure to visit her feature page on Landed.fm for more information and links to resources mentioned on today's show. This is Peter Clayton. Thanks for tuning in to Landed Radio.